Welcome to the Doggy Dojo. I'm your host, Susan Light, a Los Angeles-based dog trainer on a quest to become worthy of the title Sensei of the Doggy Dojo. Today, we're finally doing a topic that has been on my list since the podcast launched, and I'm not joking. We're talking about the pros and cons of dog parks and doggy daycares. These are incredibly popular with dog owners and generally avoided like the plague by pet professionals. Why is that? What can we do to close that gap? We're going to talk about the risks and rewards of these places, some red flags you can look for, and hopefully some good questions you can ask yourself so you can make an educated decision about whether or not to take your dog to the dog park or to a daycare. My guest today is a member of the APDT and a practicing Nichiren Buddhist, working to promote ethical and compassionate methods of dog training and behavior modification in the UK and beyond. She works one-on-one with dogs and their guardians, as well as groups, and is available for online sessions with anyone across the globe with dogs of any age or background. She has a particular fondness for dogs struggling with reactivity, and with her Yorkie mix Norma, is on a mission to help people learn to recognize that small dogs are valid and have needs too. Once a month, she hosts an Instagram Live designed to share rewards-based methods of training and get the education out there to people who perhaps can't afford to work with a professional or for whatever reason won't. Please welcome from Howl School for Dogs, Carrie Sheldrick. Welcome to the podcast, Carrie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm super excited to talk about dog parks and doggy daycare. And I'm glad you're coming to talk with me because I think that dog owners and pet parents, they don't think about daycare and dog parks the way the professionals do.
No, in fact, I've met some people through my work that have said, I don't send my dog to daycare. Does that make me a bad guardian? But almost like there's an expectation that your dog should go to doggy daycare. And there's some tremendous marketing out there for daycares.
Or that they should enjoy the dog park. And if they don't, it's like a goal, right? Oh, I got to get my dog trained so that they like the dog park.
Sure. I mean, we don't have specific dog parks over here in the UK. I think over in the States, correct me if I'm wrong, do you have, normal parks that people can go to and walk around, but then you have specific parks that are just for people to take their dogs and nothing else happens there? Is that right?
Yes. So we have regular parks and they usually have leash laws, right? So you can take your dog to the park, but they have to be on leash. And quite often, actually, even a 6-foot leash, I've been told I can't have a long line at parks around here.
Wow.
So that depends obviously on the rules.
Yeah.
But the dog parks are basically just fenced off areas where people sit on a bench and they let their dog run around off leash. So sometimes it's just dirt. It's not even like a park. They're not usually very large. They're just like a fenced in area because at least here in Los Angeles, in the city, people don't have yards necessarily. So they're like, I need to get a place where my dog can run around off leash and play with the other dogs. So hence dog parks are super popular in cities, probably not as much, probably not a thing in rural areas.
Yeah. Well, over here, we've just got parks and, they'll be for anyone to go to, and you can take your dog there and your dog can be off lead or on lead and you can have everything else happening around you. You can have picnics happening, kids playing over there. It's all there. Some people do hire out if they've got a dog that struggles with reactivity. They might hire out a field somewhere, but it's, to be honest, it's not very common over here. It's generally you take them to the parks, and we're very lucky in London. We have a lot of parks, especially, I'm in Hackney and there's loads of parks around. So that's great. And, you get to learn which parks are kind of the better ones to take your dog to that are perhaps, the guardians are a little bit more conscientious and which ones are just a no-no.
Well, you and I can focus on daycare then.
Sure.
And I can speak a little bit towards more like the cultures in American dog parks, because to be honest, if I had to choose, gun to my head, one or the other, I would choose daycare. And for me, the reason is at a dog park, there's no gatekeeper at all. Mm. There's nobody possibly cleaning the place. So for me, there's a risk to your dog's health from contaminated dirt, contaminated water, other sick dogs that have been there or are there when you're bringing your dog, a dangerous dog that the guardian doesn't realize that's just letting them run around. I've seen a lot of dogs get injured at dog parks. So the fact that it's literally the Wild West, anybody can show up and nobody's there to say that puppy's too young, that dog's too dangerous, that dog is sick, to me makes dog parks just a lot more dangerous than a doggy daycare.
Yeah. I mean, the some of the parks over here are insane when it comes to the amount of dogs in them. And one thing that I find really difficult as well is, like you say, there's no one supervising, but often it becomes like a social activity for the guardians, and they'll kind of all be chatting and everything, and then no one's looking at the dogs, and the dogs are just all out of control, and there's weird behaviors that are happening, bullying behaviors, things that, you know, they're not recognizing, you know, because they're not professionals, or they don't know about this sort of thing. Sometimes you see people bring their dogs to the park and then they go off and they jog around the park. So they're not even looking at what their dog's doing, and their dog's, you know, defecating and no one's picking it up, or their dog's running up to people, or, you know, or another thing that's really difficult is other people coming up to dogs and just, you know, trying to stroke them. And it's like, whoa, you can't do that. I had a guy come up to me with his child. He had like a 4-year-old child that was toddling along. Did they toddle at 4? I don't know. I don't have kids. This kid came walking over to touch my dog. Now, my dog does not like kids. And I said to the guy, please keep your child away. My dog doesn't like children. And he went, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. And I said, no, it's not fine. My dog will bite your child. And he said, it's all right. My kid's got to learn. So, whoa. not with my dog, he doesn't.
I think there's just a huge misunderstanding of like at what dog behavior is and what dog behavior is normal and what sociability is normal for dogs. And I think dog parks and daycares sort of perpetuate that. Like everybody feels like they're a failure or there's something wrong with their dog if they can't just throw them in a dog park or a daycare situation and have everything be okay. Yeah. But people don't realize that's not like a normal situation. It's a really specific situation. And some dogs will be successful in there. Some dogs will like it. And some dogs, I dare say the majority of dogs, will not.
I agree. And I think there used to be a, years ago, I think people would really consider getting a dog because, you know, they think about whether or not they could have one. I don't know if I can have a dog. I haven't got a garden. I don't know if I can have a dog. I work all day. But since the dog parks and, well, we don't have dog parks, but since daycares arrived, I think people don't consider that so much and just assume that, oh, it's fine, there's daycare. So I'm going to get a dog and I can work my long hours because they'll be absolutely fine at daycare. And as you say, you know, in my experience, most of them can't cope with it. And there are, you know, there are some really, really compassionate, lovely people that I know out running
daycares.
Yeah. And despite their best efforts, they're not behavior experts. You know, that's not what they trained to do. They love dogs and they, you know, they wanted to set up a business where they could spend time with dogs. But, you know, they're usually woefully understaffed. They're, you know, I would love to see a place where there's at least one adult per dog. So they could.
Oh, I mean, that would never happen.
No. But that's what's needed, right?
You can't make money on that kind of numbers. I think that's another problem is they get really, really full.
Yeah, they
right. Do. Sometimes there's like 80 or 100 dogs there.
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, I don't think that I've seen a daycare with that many here. We don't. I mean, we don't have the space
full disclosure.
Here.
I train at a daycare,
right?
And they max out at 100 dogs.
Nearly just went when you said that you have 100. Wow, that's an insane
and you
amount
should
of dogs.
See, you know, when they hit capacity and they put up the sign on the door saying we're at capacity, we can't take any more dogs. People are very upset. when they're trying to bring their dog. And this is something that they are doing that's putting the dogs ahead of the profit. People are still coming and want to drop their dogs off. And they said, we just can't. It's not good to have more than that amount of dogs here. So this is something we need people to understand. There needs to be a limit to the number of dogs in a space.
Absolutely.
And it should probably be lower than 100. But this is the issue with making money as a daycare, right?
Well, quite. I mean, it's just not natural for dogs to spend that amount of time with other dogs. And it's not how you socialize a dog. That I think a lot of people misunderstand what socialization is.
1,000%. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I feel like getting it tattooed on me, you know, 16 weeks of age and then pretty much you're done. That's it. And if they haven't had a positive experience of what socialization is, and it's not just them all running around together doing what they want, then after that, it's all counter conditioning and desensitization work. And they're not just going to get used to it in a daycare environment.
Yeah. So I do have a puppy episode where I talk about puppy socialization. And I cover all that. So we won't retread that. But you're absolutely right. It has to do, guys, with brain development. You can't just be like, oh, here I'm socializing my dog. Mm. There are socialization windows. There are fear periods. Yep. This is just science. Okay. But please don't take your puppy to the dog park or to daycare to socialize them.
No.
Do not take just your puppy, your tiny puppy, to a dog park. It's not safe vaccination-wise. It's not, you know, this is why I'm saying, like, at least the daycare would be like, no, that 12-week-old puppy cannot be here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But if you're the dog owner and you're just like walking into the dog park, please don't do that with a tiny puppy. It's not going to be a positive experience for them, and it's not safe.
So I think it's really good that you are training within a daycare setting so that there is some really good behavior advice that's being given out. Because one thing that worries me is with clients of mine, if I'm working with a dog on a particular behavior or trying to help them learn to be calm or whatever, and they're doing all this brilliant work, but then they send them to a daycare setting and suddenly there's somebody else using different methods. And not necessarily, you know, there's a lot of professionals that don't even realize that spraying water onto a dog or rattling a coin tin or something is an aversive, stressful thing just because it doesn't physically hurt them. And so, you know, you can be doing all this amazing work with your dog at home and then sending them off for hours a week with somebody who's just undoing all of that. And that's another thing, you know, it's the same with children, you know, they go to school and they're learning different rules of the world and.
Yeah. And it's a little out of your control. That's one other thing where I would take daycare over a dog park, not every daycare, but if it is designed well, if it is supervised well, if the people, you know, are treating the dogs in a certain way, because I, full disclosure, I worked at a daycare when I very, very first started training for like two months.
Right.
And it was my first experience at a daycare. I had no idea. And she was having she's like, it's not good for the dogs to bark. They can't bark. It's too stressful for everyone. So if they would bark, she had all of these like shaker penny cans, like you said, and she wanted us to like throw them at the dogs that were barking. And she had the spray bottles and she would put a bark collar on a dog that was barking. And that, you know, ultimately is ridiculous because another dog will bark and that dog will be getting punished. So just, you know, there's cameras in all of these daycares. If you're taking your dog to a daycare that doesn't have a camera, I would be suspicious. So, you know, the parents, if they want, can see what's going on. I just think nobody really understood how detrimental that could be for the dogs. Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody's doing it with good intentions
exactly,
and heart.
But if you don't know, you don't know.
We're going to take a short break, but make sure to check out Carrie's website. It's www.howldogs.org and her Instagram, which is Howl School for Dogs with a period between each word. Both are linked in the show notes. And remember that Carrie hosts an Instagram Live once a month, so make sure to check her out. We'll be right back.
I mean, I was looking on the UK government website about the actual statutory guidance for doggy daycares over here. And one of the things is that dogs must be kept at all times in an environment that meets their behavioral needs. Well,
That's tough.
you need to have
That's
somebody that
tough.
understands a lot about behavior to ensure that you're meeting that. And, they need,
Yeah.
and it also says that staff must be responsible for no more than 10 dogs. And 10 dogs is just, how on earth can you monitor all the kind of little nuanced behaviors that are happening between dogs with that many?
Yeah. So that's something people should understand. If you're taking your dog to a daycare or a dog park, there is a risk. There's a risk they'll get an illness, just like sending your kid to school, right? Hopefully, at a daycare, they're checking for shot records and things. But if you put that many dogs in a room, just like kids, somebody's going to get sick probably at some point. There's the risk of injury because, again, you put that many dogs in a room, they've been there for hours. Some dogs are boarding, they've been there for days. And the stress is high. So there's a risk that even supervised, something's going to happen, right? And somebody could get hurt.
Well, absolutely.
So just know that before you're taking your dogs to these places.
There was a study, a peer-reviewed study that came out looking at the stress signals in the neurotransmitters, the dopamine and the serotonin in the urine of dogs that go to boarding places and anywhere like that where there is lots of dogs. And it showed that there's significantly higher levels of stress in dogs in these situations. And that was and they all the dogs were, relatively healthy dogs. They were quite sure to make sure that they used dogs that were all kind of on the same even keel. And there was a clear indication between the amount of stress in the dogs that went and the ones that didn't. So
I would love to read that study. Will you send it to
I
me?
absolutely will send it over to you.
I'm gonna put a link in the bio even. So anybody that's listening that's also interested, let's take a look at that. That's so interesting. So this is what I don't think people understand. They're like, wow, the dog loves it. There's all these dogs for them to play with. But a lot of dogs actually find that many dogs stressful. It's a stressful situation. So that's where we sometimes at this daycare, even with the best of intentions, there are dogs that come that we know are not enjoying it. And it's like this awkward situation of like, do you tell the parents, like, your dog really hates it here? Like, please stop bringing them here. You know what I mean? Like,
Definitely.
it's tough. So, because I just think people are like, oh, they love it here. They love it. They love to play. Even a highly social dog, which there are, and I think the younger the dog, the more social they tend to be. Some breeds of dog, like doggy daycare, can be a lifesaver sometimes for dogs that really do need to go run around and play. But I think you're talking about like 2 hours twice a week.
This
You know
is
what I
it.
mean?
It's the amount of time they spend there because some of them spend all day there every day. They don't get to rest, they don't get to sleep, and then they come home absolutely wired. And then their guardian, who, for all the best intentions, doesn't recognize that that is not that they have got loads of energy. It's because they're totally over threshold emotionally and physically. So they're like, well, I better send them to daycare tomorrow. They need to burn off all their energy. And inside the dog's like, ah, I need to sleep.
Or what usually happens, what I find is that people are like, as soon as I get them home, they just pass out. I love it. They come, they play, and then they sleep at home. And it's like, that's because your dog has had 8 hours of just being on guard, right? And they're finally like, oh, thank God that's over and I can rest. So it's tough, I think, for people to even read the signs of how do you know if your dog's enjoying it?
Well,
How do you
exactly.
know if it's a positive thing for them or not?
Well, quite. I mean, and dogs are not the most gifted at knowing what's good for them. They're very they live very presently, which is amazing, and I'm really jealous of how presently they live. They're very much in the moment, but they're just like, yeah, this is great. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Unless there's somebody there to say, okay, Fido, you need to have a little rest. They're just going to keep going until until something goes wrong, and then suddenly, you know, there's an interaction, and then you've got a dog with reactivity issues that you sent your dog to daycare to solve a problem, and it's created a whole new problem for you just because they went over threshold.
Yeah. So that's really important for people to realize dogs are not actually pack animals.
No.
I could have a shirt made. Dogs are not pack animals, okay, people?
They're just not.
Dogs in the wild don't live in packs.
No, I mean, they studied the street dogs, you know, in India, and street dogs in Bali, and they watched what their favorite things to do when left to their own devices. And guess what? Sleeping. And then every now and then they might all congregate to somewhere where the food is being given out because there's food there. Mm-hmm. And then they bugger off and do their own thing because they don't want to hang around with loads of dogs getting on their nerves. It's just,
Yeah.
And then you've got season.
And that's super important. Cause let's talk about now. So I'll circle back to, like, it's your dog. If you need, you know, to take them to the dog park or to daycare, my suggestion is learn dog body language, which is my suggestion to literally everyone. You know, get Lily Chin's book.
Yes. And I tell all my clients that.
Yep. The best $11 you'll ever spend. Read that so you can start to just open your eyes, watch the video of these daycares, take a look. What's your dog doing? What do you think? And then let's talk about some alternatives, though. Let's say, okay, so I can't take them to the dog park, but my dog loves dogs. What do I do? How do you meet that need? Because some young dogs especially are very social, and they do want to play with some other dogs. So what can we do to sort of meet that need in a healthier way?
I think arranged play dates are wonderful in a place where it's safe, where there's, you know, ideally one other dog, a dog that your dog likes, where they can play, where you can actually watch them and see the, you know, the appropriate play taking place with the calming signals and the role reversals, and then, you know,
taking breaks,
yeah, and just having a rest. Yep. And then, yeah, that's the ideal, isn't it? I always recommend that to clients. Just find your dog, if they're a dog that enjoys playing with other dogs, find them a good playmate and arrange that rather than there being 20 dogs chasing around.
Yeah. So what about, though, for people who, like you said, they've got to work.
Yeah.
They maybe have come to rely on daycare. Mm. If they're listening and their eyes are sort of open and they're like, shoot, if I don't take them back to daycare, though, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you have doggy, Borrow My Doggy over there. Is that an app that you have?
That sounds awesome.
Do you not have it?
We have like Rover and Wag, which are apps that you can find pet sitters and dog walkers on.
Yeah, we have Rover.
I'm not recommending them. I'd like to say I'm not recommending those two apps.
No, me neither. And and also, we have Borrow My Doggy, which is, again, I'm not recommending this, but it exists over here, which is an app for people that love dogs, but perhaps for some reason can't have a dog. And for people that have a dog that perhaps would love to share their dog with somebody, you know, like-minded. So I used to do it years ago when I didn't have my own dog. I used to spend time with other people's dogs because I lived in a flat share and it wasn't possible for me to have a dog there. So I just used to take other people's dogs for the day, or, you know, they might come and have a sleepover. There was no money exchanging hands or anything. I was doing it just because I loved spending time with dogs. And so, I built up some really good relationships. The downside of that, of course, is that you can't then rely on that. You know, people, it's not a paid for service. So, I mean, there are people that are providing one-to-ones or, you know, one to two kind of daycares, you know, setups in their homes. Which can be, a few of my clients have kind of started sending their dogs to those sorts of things, and it's had a really kind of transformative effect on their dogs, just because they're just, you know, they've got space, there's only one other dog there, it's quite pleasant.
Yeah, it's just like hanging out at somebody else's house.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you said that. Here in LA, I know two women that do that. They run very small daycares in their homes. Mm. And then they also will go walk dogs as well.
Yeah.
And that's their profession. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And they're amazing at it. And they've both come to some of my classes to try to learn more about dog behavior
so
they can do better for the dogs.
Yep.
You know, they refer clients that need some training to me. But I was going to say, I understand there's not enough of those
to
meet the need. I'm sure that, but to me, that would be your ideal situation.
Well, definitely, because they could, you know, if I was, I don't do that, but if I was going to do that, I would charge loads more than a daycare would, because you know, you're not going to have as many dogs.
Exactly. You can't make money by having 100 dogs there.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's that. And also, you know, if that's not an option, there's people that will drop in on your dog, but you have to ensure that your dog, you know, has no separation anxiety going on. So you need to do the work with that. If you are going to leave your dog, you know, for a few hours, I would never recommend leaving a dog for more than 4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
But you can get people that, you know, that will drop in and maybe, you know, let your dog out for a wee and all that kind of thing.
And I think people feel bad. They're like, oh, the dog will be home alone, or the dog will be in a crate while I'm at work. Let me tell you, there's probably dogs that would prefer it.
Oh, God,
right?
Yeah.
I prefer that.
Yeah, let me sleep on the sofa. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of crating dogs, just because I think that they often get misused, you know, as places of punishment and things like that, or dogs are put in them for too long. But I often suggest to people, kind of have your dog in a, if you don't want your dog to have free reign of the home, get a playpen area and have them in that area.
Yeah, like, you know, a smaller.
Yeah,
a great idea.
So they can get up, they can move around, but they're not trapped and frightened of being alone, you know. Dogs that do enjoy being home alone. My dog loves it. When I go out, I sprinkle a load of treats on the carpet and she's like, oh, for God's sake, Kerry, hurry up and go so I can get started on this. And then I'm out and I only leave her for, you know, a couple of hours at a time. And then I come home and she is Sparko on the sofa, snoring her head off. And, you know, that the idea of sending her to any kind of daycare or anything would be hell for her. She would hate it.
Yeah. So it's individual. There are dogs. I'm glad you mentioned separation anxiety, because I think daycare is sometimes an only option, because when you're working with it's isolation distress usually, because separation anxiety, if you take your dog to daycare and they're truly attached to you, they're still going to be stressed out.
Quite.
Isolation
exactly.
distress is what we're actually talking about when we talk about a lot of separation anxiety, where the dog doesn't care who's there as long as they're not alone.
Yes.
So to be honest, daycare is sometimes your only option if you have to leave and you can't find one of these smaller things. So these businesses exist to meet a need. Just go in with open eyes, shop around.
Definitely shop around.
Watch the cameras, you know, and choose the best one that you can.
Ask the good questions as well. What do you do when there's a difficult behavior happening? How do you manage that? And if there's any sort of punishment happening, you don't want to send your dog there. Ask them, how do you ensure that the dogs have a space to sleep where they're not disturbed? How do you ensure they get to rest? What qualifications do the staff have? And do they have regular?
Great one.
Do they, you know, are they learning all the time, or are they still operating on information from 20 years ago? You know, and who, I always like to ask, who do you follow on Instagram or on social media? You know, there's a few.
Ooh, great one.
There's a few red flags that would come up that I'm not going to mention here, but you know, there's certain celebrities.
If anyone's been listening to my podcast for long, they know who you're talking about.
So, you know, if anyone is kind of saying, oh yeah, I'm a big supporter, love Cesar Millan, then I would say, right, this is not the daycare for me. Some really good questions to ask. And also, do they understand the stress signals in a dog? Do they understand how much or how little a dog needs to walk? You know, I sometimes see dog walkers, as you know, that are working part of a doggy daycare, taking dogs out, and I can see little puppies walking with adult dogs, and I think, they shouldn't be out together. That puppy can't walk as much as that dog. And, you know, so, ask the good questions. And look on, if you're in the UK, look on the government website, because there's strict rules there.
Thank you, Carrie, for joining me today. My biggest takeaways from this conversation are that there's no right or wrong. Every dog is an individual, and every dog park and daycare is a totally different scenario. But it's important to realize that some dogs do not thrive in large groups, and that's not a failure for your dog. These places exist so you can choose to use them or not, based on your needs and your dog. But we again caution you that the pet care industry is unregulated. Anyone, literally, can open a dog daycare. So make sure you check yours thoroughly before trusting them with your dog. And no one is there to regulate at the dog park. So if you choose to use one of them, be extra vigilant and please learn some canine body language so you can really see what's going on with the dogs there. Phew. All right. Thank you for stopping by the dojo to learn with me this week. This is your aspiring sensei, Susan Light, signing off. You can find me at doggydojopodcast.com or I'm Susan Light LA on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook. The music was written by Mac Light. You can find him at maclightsongwriter.com. If you like the show, you can support it by subscribing, sharing it with your friends, rating it, and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode of the Doggy Dojo.